This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 in the morning, Tuesday, the 6th of September. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shahzana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning and Philip C. In half an hour, we have The Breakfast Grill. Who is in the hot seat today?
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking to Deepti Saraf. She's the general manager for Roche Malaysia. She just joined Roche Malaysia about 6 months ago. Before that, she had a tour of duty all around at Thailand, India. So I want to get her perspectives on how Roche has been developing their pharma portfolio, which is very much focused on oncology, cancer treatments. They make great strides there, seeing how the portfolio has evolved and what kind of solutions they're going to take to make sure they can work towards personalizing healthcare for everybody.
And as we have been discussing earlier this morning, healthcare is such a hot industry at the moment. Everyone Definitely. Wants to invest there. You know, it'll be interesting to see what her plans are in Malaysia.
Big money. That's all I can say. Pharma is
extremely huge margins. As you said, right? Even for Malaysia with the healthcare paper, 5% of GDP, that's a huge opportunity for many people.
All right. Stay tuned for that conversation after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. We're turning our attention now, though, to what's happening in the UK. About 12 hours ago, Liz Truss was named as Britain's next prime minister after winning the Conservative Party leadership race. With a turnout of 82%, she was elected with 57% of the vote over Rishi Sunak's 43%.
Well, from here on, she's expected to form a cabinet in the next few days that will inherit a country that has been swinging from one crisis to another. Now, without revealing many details, Liz Truss has promised immediate action to tackle rising energy costs whilst also delivering a bold plan to cut taxes. Now, fresh from her victory, she dedicated a significant amount of her speech to praising her predecessor Boris Johnson and calling for unity in the Conservative Party.
From a former Liberal Democrat activist to the third Prime Minister in a row elected without an election, how will Liz handle this thrust into leadership, and can she deliver as an economic crisis looms? For some thoughts, we speak to Professor Chandran Kukatas, Dean of the School of Social Sciences at Singapore Management University. He was the head of the Department of Government at the London School of Economics until 2019. Professor Chandran, good morning. Thanks very much for speaking with us. I'd like to start off with getting your thoughts on the outcome of this election. Previously, we saw Rishi Sunak leading the ballot of Tory MPs at every stage. So is it any surprise to you that Liz Truss has won in terms of the Conservative Party vote overall?
Well, I think it's not been a surprise to most observers. She's led consistently in the poll among Tory MPs. Sorry, among Tory voters. It's really the outcome of an unusual process now in the Conservative Party to have the election of the leader a matter not for the MPs, but for the Conservative Party members. And in this respect, I think much is due to the fact that in his last few months of being in the cabinet, firstly, Sunak was seen to be disloyal to Boris Johnson, who was hugely popular. And secondly, Sunak had a number of mini scandals of his own coming up to the contest for the position. Notably, the fact that he was a non-dom as far as taxation is concerned. So, you know, this I think probably would have hurt him a little bit.
And Professor, she has no honeymoon period, does she? Because she has a huge overflowing in tray. What are her top three priorities?
I think the top priority by a long way is simply the cost of living crisis for most Britons. You could say this is also, you know, as important as the energy crisis, but in a sense, the two things are related. The reason the energy crisis is a crisis is that the costs everywhere are going to rise for a variety of factors, ranging from the fallout from COVID, plus the collapse in world markets because of the war in Ukraine. All of this means that energy prices are going to go up everywhere. This is feeding into inflation. And she has to do something very quickly to address the fact that people are going to be struggling financially. Unfortunately, she doesn't really have any easy solutions, because she said she wants to address this as a long-term problem. But the short-term fixes she'll need to produce will, in fact, go against the long-term solution. The long-term solution has to be to let prices do their work to cut consumption because people can't afford to consume energy as much. But at the same time, winter is coming, and they'll simply have to find the money to support those people who need the energy to survive. To do that, it's hard to see how she can do that without basically borrowing in the first instance, but secondly, and no less importantly, contributing to inflation, which is now running in the low teens, and it's projected to go up to close to 20%, maybe even more than 20%. And that's going to hit people hard as well, financially.
Now, of course, one of her main agendas as Prime Minister is going to be forming a cabinet. Who do you see her bringing on board? And will this be an opportunity for her to actually win the support of some key Tory MPs?
All reports suggest that the major positions have already been filled in principle, even though it's not been announced. I think the most likely person to take on the position of Chancellor of the Exchequer is Kwasi Kwarteng, who is a kind of a free market liberal. And I think that's probably going to be the most important thing in the short term, because she's going to have someone on board who is aligned with her thinking about economic policy. The other thing that's probably going to be notable about the new cabinet is that it's going to contain few, if any, white males in the top five positions. That is to say, defense secretary, education secretary, home secretary. I don't think she'll be concerned particularly about trying to use this to reach out to other members of the Conservative Party to shore up her leadership. She will at least have some time before there's any kind of threat mounted to her. So I think the main thing she's probably thinking is, how do I get a team together that's going to be on board with what I think? Not wanting to alienate members of the party, of course, but the other thing is she doesn't want to alienate the supporters of Boris Johnson.
Okay, we do notice, though, although she did win the majority of the Conservative members when it comes to becoming the Prime Minister, she doesn't necessarily have the support of that many Conservative MPs, right? So how is she going to win them over now, actually?
I don't think she is going to win them over now. But as is the case with all MPs everywhere, what they care about most is getting re-elected. So if she's successful, then they will fall into line. If she struggles just with policy and the policy outcomes, then she will be in trouble. And I don't think it's going to matter whether she's reached out and given them positions in the cabinet or offered them sweeteners in one way or another. The key for her really to survive politically is not to make a hash of the main job at hand. And that will be tough.
Mm. Earlier, you mentioned about how she she's been very careful not to alienate Boris Johnson and his supporters. And Johnson is still very popular with the grassroots. What do you think, what's next for him? Do you think he could make a comeback in politics? Will there be a space for him in some capacity in the government?
I think not at this stage, partly because he himself has said that he's going to take a bit of a break from public life. So who knows what he'll be thinking in a couple of years. But he's someone probably with a lot of options, both within politics and outside it. It's hard to see how he would make a successful comeback given the amount of baggage he comes with. He is popular within the Conservative Party, but within the country, not so much. I think once again, what will matter to the party is whether he can win them an election. Now, he's made a big deal of the fact that they won the 2019 election, and he's trying to take much of the credit for that. But I think a lot of factors have gone into that that particular victory, ranging from the divisions within the Labour Party, to the fact that people were getting fed up with Brexit dragging on for as long as it had. Johnson was clearly one factor, but I don't think it's the whole factor, because while he's beloved in parts of the Conservative electorate, he is also a very divisive figure who's equally loathed by other parts of the country.
Professor Chandran, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Professor Chandran Kulkatas, Dean of the School of Social Sciences at Singapore Management University, giving us his take on the appointment of Liz Truss as the next Prime Minister of the UK, really laying out for us the polarised landscape of politics in Britain at the moment.
I mean, very interesting numbers here, right? The third unelected Prime Minister, the third female Prime Minister in the United Kingdom. So this, I guess, is the biggest challenge that she will have to face. And, you know, one Prime Minister she was always looked up to as an idol is Margaret Thatcher. She was also a very divisive figure, yeah.
Yeah, but I wonder what's going to happen when the general elections come rolling by, right? You know, the Conservatives have actually been in power for 12 years. Yeah. It's been a long time. So I won't be surprised, right, is this election is hers to lose.
Yeah, but so the opinion polls say that, you know, Labour has an 8-point lead. But you never know. 2 years, things could happen change very fast.
And I'm wondering whether she can even stay in power for 2 years. Look at the way the Conservatives spit out their leaders, right? So who will be watching this space?
She's got such a monumental task ahead of her. We'll wait and see what happens. 7:47 a.m. Up next, we are going to hazard a guess as to what's in store for Budget 2023 and whether it heralds the calling of GE15. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.